Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottie along with Cullen Steele, handling everything behind the scenes in the news with the Saints. No surprise, Chris Olave out this week along with Broncos cornerback Patrick Surtain, both with concussion issues. But news today breaking, I guess mid-afternoon, that Rashid Shaheed will undergo exploratory surgery on his meniscus to find out the extent of the injury, if it's a little nip and a tuck and sort of a cut or total repair. Total repair, and Doc can talk a lot more about it than I can, but I'm pretty sure that would mean the rest of the season. We have on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line from Ortho LA, Dr. David Elias. Doc, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. I didn't think I'd call you back this quick. We talked this morning. I didn't think we'd have that second conversation this afternoon.
Yeah, I jinxed us.
What up? Doc, kind of detail everything about the meniscus itself, and if it's a couple weeks surgery, or what would you find in the exploratory surgery to make you go from what would be a short-term recovery time, a couple weeks, to basically, you're talking about months, if you're going to do a repair?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I would imagine they got an MRI and saw a signal change in one of his meniscus. There's two in each knee, the medial and the lateral meniscus. And it's a common football injury. It can happen acutely with a twisting injury or a hit to the knee. It can happen in combination with other injuries like an ACL tear. Meniscal tears are common with that. A lot of times they can just be chronic nagging injuries. People don't remember an injury, and, you know, through weeks of having pain and locking and catching, you get an MRI and you see a meniscal tear. For the most part, meniscal tears are 100% operative. There's not really a non-operative way to treat a meniscal tear. And a lot of the reason is the blood supply to the meniscus is pretty poor. So, you know, meniscal surgery is difficult. I mean, I've been doing this 17 years, and still, you know, you go into a knee and never know what to expect. The MRI leads you to hopefully know if you're going to do a repair or a debridement. Also, the age of the patient, the condition of the knee. A lot of factors go into, do you just debride it and it's a quick recovery, or do you actually put stitches and repair it? And then it's a longer recovery. So, you know, the meniscus is divided into zones. The inner zone doesn't have good blood supply. So if you've got a tear in that zone, most of the time it's just a cleanup, a debridement, and, you know, recovery can still be 3 to 6 weeks depending on, you know, the extent of the surgery. If the tear is on the outside periphery, the blood supply is good. If it's a clean tear, if it involves a lot of the meniscus, then a lot of times you're going to repair it so that you can preserve the long-term shock-absorbing function of the meniscus. So if he gets a repair, it's season ending. You're 6 weeks non-weight bearing. Usually return to play is somewhere between 4 to 6 months. With a debridement, I would guess 4 to 6 weeks. So,
Doc, when you look at it from an MRI situation, you're not going to be able to tell from the MRI. Basically, you got to go in for exploratory surgery to find out the full extent, correct?
Well, we don't know his history, right? Has he had two or three knee scopes in the past, even in college and high school? And that changes, too. You know, if this is his third or fourth knee scope, more than likely it's just going to be a cleanup because there's not going to be a whole lot to repair. If, you know, an MRI can lead us, it can help predict if we're going to repair or if we're going to debride. But a lot of times you really don't know till you get in there and you probe the meniscus and you look at the quality of the tissue. You know, you can't put a stitch in a meniscus that is degenerative and has a lot of tears in it because it won't hold. So, you know, in that situation, you just trim out the part that's torn, and you know, the goal is always to leave as much meniscus, good meniscus behind so that it can still preserve that shock absorbing function. But, you know, a lot of times you go in there thinking you're going to repair and you end up you're not able to repair it. A lot of times you go in there thinking you're going to just clean it out, and it ends up being a repair candidate.
So basically what you're saying, if it's a short-term deal, you're talking about at least 3 to 4 weeks If it's a repair, we talking about 4 to 6 months before he could hit back on the field. And you were saying how long without load bearing?
Yeah, if you have a repair, typically it's 4 to 6 weeks of minimal weight bearing or non-weight bearing. Oh. So, you know, a repair, you have to let it heal. Again, the blood supply is not great in the meniscus, so it takes, you know, it takes time to heal, and usually about 3 to 4 months before it's healed.
Doc, you had come on with Tommy, and we played the bite about Derek Carr and the oblique injury, and you determined you thought it'd probably be a 4-week injury to that oblique injury. There is some talk that quite possibly he will start throwing the football next week, which would be week 3 of the injury. But that still doesn't mean you can play, because you got to that torque from that oblique injury. You got to get that completely well before you can hit back on the field as a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, he's just because he's starting, that's part of the rehab for him is getting out and throwing. And if you look at, you know, there's been a more oblique injuries this year in college and pros than you usually see. And most of them have been out roughly 4 to 6 weeks is an average. Now, that, again, depends on the extent of the injury and how much muscle's involved. And is it a mild tear, moderate tear, things like that.
Doc, we hadn't talked about this, but I'll just ask you. We've seen more this year, especially early in the season, with these soft tissue injuries, more and more of it. A lot of people in the game, outside the game, will bring up the fact that not being able to practice like you did in the past and getting your body ready for the real hits that happen during the regular season. This ain't preseason football. It's not the Jamboree game anymore, okay? It's the real NFL. Have you seen an uptick in that also, especially for the big men, offensive, defensive linemen? Man, there's been so many offensive linemen that have went down, and a lot of it is soft tissue injuries. And a lot of people are pointing back to the fact that, okay, the CBA was signed and it's a new agreement and they don't want them to get hurt on the field. But, you know, can you play a couple games and they down with a soft tissue injury to a knee, an ankle, you name it. And that has really dramatically jumped up this year. More than any other time, it's almost 40 years for me. I can't ever remember this many injuries this early in the season and all related to kind of soft tissue type injuries.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's hard to know. Every year we take care of different teams, and some year you see a lot of knee injuries, and some year you see a lot of shoulder injuries. I really think it's just kind of unlucky. You know, most of these athletes, you would think they have their bodies in the best shape going into the season. You know, yeah, you can't imitate live hitting in a real football game, but, you know, I would think most of these guys come into the season in shape. And, you know, there's been no, like, study or correlation to this, but it does seem like there's been a lot of injuries this year than when compared to the past.
Yeah, no question about it. And, again, I think the studies are not there because we just haven't had enough time to kind of see it over this gradual period of time with the new CBA and how they practice and everything else. But most of these guys come in very good shape. And so it's not about being in shape. It's just, man, this is a real physical game. You know, okay, a lot of people, you know, they went about that when they played in junior high school or high school. Man, it's a different deal you get out there in the NFL. All of them are big, fast, strong, and something could snap real quick.
Yeah, I mean, there's you know, you can be in the best shape ever, and you take that eccentric contraction just the wrong way, and a tendon snaps from bone, you tear the muscle tendon junction. It is definitely common. And, you know, a lot of times I get asked, does the artificial turf make a difference in injuries? And I think it did early. Now I think people are more used to playing on turf. I think now the design of the turf has changed from what it was 10 years ago. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons to question why there's so many different injuries. But, you know, that's one of them for sure.
Doc, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time. I know it was sort of short notice, so I appreciate your time and all your insights.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Doc. That was Dr. David Elias from Arthro LA explaining to us about the meniscus and also about certainly the oblique injury that Derek Carr is fighting now. And long-term injuries, especially to the big men along the offensive line, we've seen that really dramatically jump this season.